Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Bring it down.
Oh, I am loud right now. I didn't even turn you on yet. You're always loud. See, I told you that was right.
Yeah,
Mike.
You're right.
What's you're up, guys?
Terrible board
op. I'm a terrible board op. What's up, guys? It's Gravel Talk, week number 16. We're 16 now. Guess what that means?
License to drive, dude.
License to drive and license to...
License to drink if you're in Germany.
Okay, well, we're not in Germany right now. We are.
Well, you know what? Some people like to drink, and some people like Germany.
What's up, guys? I'm Nick Ragner, joined by my esteemed colleague, AC Riley. AC Riley, you got a little bit of a bump on your head, it looks like.
It's a little bit of a bump.
It's a little bit. You look like Frankenstein, dude.
I was thinking about
that. You look like Frankenstein.
You know, I got asked if I was alive on Sunday morning, and I replied, brains.
Brains, like you're a zombie or something?
So I was like, kind of.
That's
kind of
weird. Anyways, we got a big show today. We got Nick Colucci coming on later. We got Jesse Von Rudin coming on to talk about Supreme Wrestling Entertainment.
So. Because for 3 years in a row, you weren't at the SWE's Rise Against Cancer, which means that you can't help us out with the recap.
And for the 1 year, you accidentally got taken out on a stretcher, I believe. Is that correct?
We were rising against cancer. I couldn't rise against the wood.
You couldn't rise against wood. Well, I mean, other than that, we got Jesse Von Rudin coming on again for the second consecutive week to talk to us about what happened at SWE. But first, like we do every single week, we are going to be looking at these shows coming up both this weekend and the following weekend. So, AC Riley, why don't you start us off?
All right, we're going to start things off with Independent Wrestling International. That's this Saturday, March 8th, for the folks that are sticking around the Twin Cities area. It's going to be at the Eagle Club in St. Paul. It's located on 287 Maria Avenue in St. Paul, Minnesota, the venue that they always go to, the good old Eagles Club. 7:30 p.m. is the bell time. Doors open at 7. Tickets are $10 for adults and 6 for kids under 10 years old. Got a lot of stuff going on for IWI. We got a main event, world title match. We have it being held under no count out disqualification rules because it sounds like these guys have been going at it for quite some time. Got the world champion Black Stallion going up against the U.S. champion Damien Graves.
Ooh.
So it sounds like, you know.
It's like a unification match or something like that?
I don't think it's a unification match. I think it's just a match that just always gets count out or disqualified. Similar to Shades of SWE's main event, which we'll talk about a little bit later.
Ooh.
World Tag Team title match also in play. We got Glam Slam, Spider Baby, and the X-Man, Ian Xavier versus
nice.
Patrick McDaniels and Nathan Sensation.
Hey, there he is.
And then in a special hay bale match, should be interesting. We have Da Minnesotan versus Josh Callisto.
What's Da Minnesotan? Is that like a luchador from Minnesota or something like that?
That's a good question to one I do not have the answer to.
Okay.
We'll also be seeing guys like Brian Sager, Tommy Mason.
Hey, we know him.
Logan Lasher.
We know him.
Derek Cobain.
We know him. Sorry. I got excited.
And bottom line, card is subject to change. So check it out if you're in the Minnesota area, IWI's. Show there.
Scotty Johnson.
On Saturday. Scotty Johnson will be there.
Oh, man. I love Scotty Johnson. Coming up on March 8th, Saturday, Supreme Wrestling Entertainment is presenting to you Collision Course. They're having pretty much shows back to back. It's going to be at the Game On Sports Bar, 1102 Madison Street in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin, 53916. Those zip codes are pretty helpful when you're using Google Maps. Trust me, I use Google Maps all the time. It's sponsored by Kielbasa King Sports Extravaganza and Industrial Web Designs. And IT. Bell time's at 7. Doors open at 6. Tickets are $10 for adults, 5 for kids, 6 to 12. And kids that are 5 and under get in for free. So that's always a nice thing for families and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying?
That's very true. And another thing to look out for this weekend as well is that over in the Milwaukee area, we have that Ring of Honor show coming up, right?
Oh, yeah. We'll get to that actually right after I get done with SWE. So well, it's not like an awkward
let's do it.
Jumping. So anyways, pretty much a lot of the matches that have been confirmed so far. We have a no DQ, no count out. Loser leaves SWE match, Stacy Shadows and Melanie Cruz. You don't want to miss that one. That's going to be huge. Then you have a tag team match. You're seeing Jiggy Jack Spade and the big Peter Schwanz, who's been blowing up lately, taking on the Ghost Riders. That's a pretty much a main event caliber match as it is. And then you have my boy to my right, grudge match, SWE tag team champion Sexy KC with Silky Fine and presumably also with Storm will be taking on AC Riley. And hopefully JJ Ryan will be out there to have your back as well because we don't want to see the opposite side of your head get busted open as it did this past Saturday. Then we have another tag team matchup, the Chosen One, Dayhawk and Devlin Kane, taking on Psycho Chase McCoy and the Honorable Judge Jesse. Judge Jesse seems like he's turning a new leaf or something.
Starting a new leaf, man.
I mean, that's not a bad thing. I mean, I love it when that guy gets in the ring because he is awesome on the mic. Then we also have Sokey Fine accompanying Storm to the ring, and he'll be taking on J.J. Ryan. So a little bit of you guys are kind of splitting up and taking on the Revelation. And then we have Mr. 8-Pack, Jared Jax, taking on Joey Jet Avalon. Another great matchup with two very athletic competitors. Something to look forward to. That's SWE March 8th at the Game On Sports Bar.
Then backtracking a little bit, this Friday, if you're in the Milwaukee area, head on down to Ring of Honor's Raising the Bar Night 1. So we got Adam Cole versus Matt Taven. We have a six-man tag match. Kevin Steen and the Young Bucks, which is Nick and Matt Jackson versus the Briscoes and Unbreakable Michael Elgin. We also have guys like Jay Lethal. We'll have Michael Bennett with Maria Kanellis, which we've recognized her from WWE and everything. Yeah. She's been doing the Ring of Honor scene for a while. We got Silas Young who will be there. We'll be seeing a few other guys. This was the show that Matt Winchester was talking about to attend. But, you know, with his injuries.
Yep.
But actually, an update on Winchester is that turns out he went to Powell, was working out the leg, and
nice.
Things are going well.
That's awesome. That's great to hear.
Glad to hear that. So that's going to be at the Turner Hall Ballroom, 1034 North 4th Street in Milwaukee. And then if you don't, if you're not able to get it on Friday, hey, don't worry about it because they got three times that you'll be able to watch it on the weekend. On WVTV Saturday at 1, and then in WCGV 9 p.m. I don't know these stations,
I'm assuming
if you're in Milwaukee, you know these stations.
Yeah, of course.
And then on Sunday, the last time you can see it is at 10 p.m. again on WCGV, and that's Ring of Honor.
Yeah, Ring of Honor is always pretty cool because they bring in a lot of people, a lot of talent that is definitely on the cusp of reaching the WWE or TNA or something like that. Some of their competitors have gotten that high up. So, that's always cool to check out. Friday, March 14th, we are going to go through this pretty quickly because we got to get Jesse Von Rudin on here. But BCW's March Madness, the Knights of Columbus, 1800 South 92 Street in West Allis, Wisconsin. Bell time's at 7:30. Doors open at 6:45. Tickets, $15. Fans, though, can buy their tickets in advance on BCW's website for $10. That's
Snap.
www.BrewCityWrestling1.com. So www.BrewCityWrestling1.com. And a couple matches really quick. We have Pornstash, Peter Swans, who is the Heritage Champion, taking on the Last Real Man, Silas Young. Those two guys, great matchups before. This one's going to be a Last Man Standing match. Don't want to miss that one. Plus, then you have Adam Pearce taking on Jim Blaze. What else can you really say? That's a huge matchup as it is. So that's Brew City Wrestling's March Madness, March 14th at the Knights of Columbus.
Last but not least, we have a show that we're going to go check out. Something that...
Yeah, we're going to be there. I'm excited.
Yeah, we're going to be there, and it's actually exciting because we haven't been to a Minnesota show. Well, I haven't been there since the last IWI show I worked, which was last December. Not this past December leading into 2014. That December 2012.
Oh, wow.
And when's the last time? You don't even know.
I don't even know.
You were there so long ago.
I went with Ryan Brown one time to First Wrestling, and that was a while ago.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. But we're going to First Wrestling, checking out the Minnesota scene for a while. So
great scene, too.
Yeah, it's a great scene over there. Nothing against the Wisconsin scene, mind you, but it's just we kind of want to change of pace.
Yep, look at some of those names on there, too. That's pretty exciting.
And it's First Wrestling, Wrestlepalooza 3, and we have people like... For example, friends of mine who I mentioned I was going to First, and they actually know what I was talking about, which is awesome because this is it's not just a wrestling show. It's an entertainment show because, for example, we got wrestling shows. We got Horse the Psychopath on it, Sheik Arya Daivari. That's the brother of Sean Daivari, former WWE superstar.
Yep.
Got Playboy Pete Huge. We'll be seeing Udo,
nice.
Renny D,
nice.
The North Star Express, Ryan Cruz, and Darren Corbin.
Yes.
And then that's just the wrestling aspect. We're also going to be seeing some burlesque for those of you that are on the ball about what's going on in the burlesque scene. You got Queenie Von Curves and Sweet Pea. Don't know who those are, so I apologize. And then live music, we got Blood and Stuff and Lipstick Homicide.
Lipstick Homicide.
So I really hope they're not like little easy listening bands because then their names are extremely missing.
Yeah, exactly, because that sounds like it's going to...
So if you're in the Twin Cities area, First Wrestling's Wrestlepalooza 3, that's this Friday as well.
Heck, man, next Friday. We're not going to even be in the Twin Cities area. We're still going.
Well, we're still going, but I'm saying bottom line is that if you're in that Twin Cities area and you don't really want to drive with the winter... Just head on down to first.
Well, hopefully winter will be gone by March 14th.
So March 14th is the time leading into spring break. Two great shows leading into spring break, might I add. Tickets are going to be $18 in advance and $20 at the door. So it's a little expensive, but you definitely get what you pay for. Yep. Doors open at 7. Show starts at 8. And it is an 18-plus show because they do serve beer and all that jazz. So, I mean, it's not like they're saying, oh, we just want the screen. No, it's like, no, to be fair, we just can't let you in for legality reasons.
You know, I remember seeing the North Star Express. You know, it was one of the first shows. I think I saw them in, oh, man, where was that? It might have been Amory or something like that. Like, they came out to an NAW show that we covered.
No, it was Ryan Cruz that you saw.
No, it was North Star. It was Darren Corbin came down, too. Like, they came together. You
Did
weren't
Darren
there.
Darren come down?
It was just me and Ryan Brown. That was
oh,
just
no, that's
Brown.
Right. Ryan Cruz was the show I was on. He was wrestling Aaron Sacrifice.
Yeah, but I saw Ryan Cruz and Darren Corbin, and they came out, and boy, like, that. Honestly, like, I'm not trying to, you know, be a brown noser or anything, but, like, them as a tag team, they came out, and I was, and me and Ryan Brown talked about it on the way back, and we were like, man, that was, like, super cool. And, like, that's one of the first, you know, influential things that happened to me in the indie scene, because I was so fresh to the indie scene, and I was like, man, this is so awesome. Like, how they had, like, some sort of shoot promo, and it was pretty cool to hear. So, I mean, that was definitely something different, and looking forward to seeing those guys again. Next Friday.
I'm just looking forward to it because how often can we over here, Gravel Talk, and the guys at Bell to Bell, how often can we say that we go down to a wrestling show where we're not planning to do anything involved, like with the matches, with like production work or anything like that?
Well, I mean, it seems like that's never happened, because pretty much every single time that we, especially with Bell to Bell, I mean, those guys are booked like every single week, and I feel kind of bad. Knowing that you know, they finally get a weekend off, and that's pretty cool to you know.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, well, we're gonna take a quick break here, try to get Jesse on the line. Of course, we have tremendous problems with our phone lines here, so as a result, we're gonna take a quick break. We'll be right back with Jesse Von Rudin, and then we are gonna talk about SWE's Rise Against Cancer. Trace. That's three for Spanish, right?
Nice, I like it. You guys listen to Gravel Talk. Stay tuned, guys.
RAQ, La Crosse's student and community-run station.
Gravel Talk on RAQ, what's going on? It has been just shades of previous broadcast where...
I'm sick of this bull. I want to cuss right now.
The broadcast...
Oh, my God. You know what? What the hell is going on in this... God,
well, you know what?
Forsaken studio, dude.
Bottom line, we got to fix. Jesse Von Rudin is on the line.
Is he? Are you with us, Jesse, right now?
Hey, I'm
here,
man.
He's
if you want to cuss, go right ahead, man.
I don't want to get kicked out.
So, anyways, Jesse, you're on the line. Help me out. Recap the SWE Rise Against Cancer show, because our very own Nick Ragnar, unfortunately, was not able to attend. He had other things going on. And you definitely got a front row view of it because you were the commentator, and I didn't get so much because either I was sitting in the back getting ready for my match, or I was bleeding half of my brain out.
Yeah, which I don't know. A lot of people want to say you didn't have a half a brain as it was in the first place. It was definitely a moment. I would have to say it was one of those nights you're never really going to forget. Jam-packed Fredonia, like 300-plus fans. Raised a lot of money. Didn't get an exact figure how much, but it was kind of cool because last year we had young Nathaniel there, who was actually battling cancer at the time. It was kind of cool. We actually found out that the young man actually is cancer-free.
Nice.
So it was really cool that, like, our efforts over the last couple of years, especially with SWE, really helped him out. And it was a heartwarming experience to see a young kid like that who's basically almost given a death sentence overcome the odds, and it's really uplifting and heartfelt, and it kind of gives you a lot of strength that, hey, you know, if he can do it, I can do it, you know?
Well, it's great to hear, man. And, you know, it definitely sounded in the back that things were pretty packed. What did you think about the show as far as attendance?
I thought from top to bottom, it's always cool to see wrestlers take time out of their busy schedules for a non-existent payday to raise awareness and money for a cause that definitely affects every person that we know. I mean, you haven't, AC, I can tell you, you probably haven't known someone hasn't been affected by cancer. Nick as well, and myself. I mean, I had a grandparent die from cancer. So it was one of those things where, you know, words can't put in the description how wonderful it is to actually be a part of that type of show.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, I had my grandpa die of throat cancer, and then my grandma, not too far after him, beat cancer. but then got hit with cancer once again, and then it was the final step in the coffin for her. You know, but moving on, I mean, we could talk about how cancer has affected all of us, you know, until the show's over, but unfortunately we're short on time.
Definitely.
But we'll talk about a few matches here. I was going to start with the opener, as we usually do, but since it involves one of your favorite wrestlers, decide, you know what, we're going to save that for later. So let's talk about the main event, which was Dave Bell and Chief Adekuakua. Jesse, what were your thoughts on that? I was in the hospital by then.
It was an interesting situation. Usually Chief Adekuakua is coming to the ringside by Silky Fine. Well, Silky Fine, for whatever apparent reason, decided he was going to sell the services of Chief Adekuakua that night to none other than Vic the Stick Ross.
What?
So Vic Ross was actually accompanying Chief Adekuakua out, which was definitely a different sort of thing there for the Chief. Hmm. Of course, the Chief is the UIWA World Heavyweight Champion and was taking on Dave Bell. The ending was kind of surprising. I think it caught a lot of people off guard. The Chief went to, you know, try to get a cheap victory, you know, by bashing in the title belt into the head of Dave Bell, but Dave Bell was able to counter it. They tossed back the belt back and forth, you know, almost kind of like a like Eddie Guerrero would do type
of
thing.
Exactly.
So in the end, you know, the Chief was the one caught with the belt in his hand. Bell went to lay on his back. The referee saw it and he disqualified the Chief. So Dave Bell got a huge victory, moves up in the rankings of the UIWA, but, you know, unfortunately, he didn't win the belt.
I know. It's almost like you think, even though they're apparently throwing this belt back and forth to each other, in Chief's mind, it's pretty much a win-win because either Dave Bell gets disqualified or he gets disqualified, but he keeps the belt regardless. So, I mean, that must have been some sort of strategy or it had to have been something because, I mean...
Oh, yeah, definitely. But I think with, like, Dave, you know, like getting a huge victory against Chief, even though disqualification, that sets up a rematch down the road, and hopefully we'll get a chance to see that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, another match that I really want to take a look at, I know that we joke about it a lot, but, you know, obviously I've taken an interest in Big Peter Schwanz, especially after the last show that I saw him at, just how much he's progressed. And obviously, you know, I didn't get to see Joey Jett Avalon. I'll get to see him this Saturday. But, you know, based on how much you've talked about Joey Jett, I thought this was a really, really big matchup. What were your thoughts of that match?
Well, definitely. That was one of the highlights of the night, to say the least. Both men really brought their airy game, opened up a lot of eyes. If you haven't seen these two guys in action, you have to. Schwanz might not be the biggest guy in the planet. He's probably 5'8", maybe 175 pounds. He's definitely giving up maybe about 6 inches of height to Joey Jett Avalon and maybe about 50 pounds as well. But both guys, back and forth, great light heavyweight action. We get to see a lot of innovative offense from both guys. At one point in time, Joey Jett Avalon ended up setting up the Falcon's Arrow, which is a vertical suplex into a slam between the legs, you know, similar to like a Michinoku driver, right?
Yeah.
Well, instead of slamming Schwanz into the canvas, he ended up bringing up the knees and actually executed lung blower off it. So if you can kind of put those two things together, it's definitely a vicious offensive maneuver and probably should have won the match. But unfortunately, you know, Schwanz was able to get the victory with a good old roll up and a handful of tights.
Well, you know, it sounds like it was one heck of a competition. I'm sure that you were freaking out in the announcer's booth there.
Oh, man.
But, you know, we'll move on
from
that. Well,
I wasn't as freaking out as much as your girlfriend was in the crowd when you were bleeding like a stuffed prick. I can tell you that much.
He just broke the fourth wall.
To be fair, that's definite circumstances. But, you know, let's talk about Porn Stash. He's in the Champion of the Night tournament. And,
Big Peter Schwanz, man. Get your stuff right.
Big Peter Schwanz. Yeah. Whatever. All right.
Super kick you in the face, man.
He will.
Well, what you going to do when AC Riley bleeds all over you? That's all I have to say to that.
More likely get tested. You know?
Well, there you go. Well, moving on. Let's move on here. So, Big Peter Schwanz, he's in the Champion Night Tournament. And also at Rise Against Cancer, we saw the final qualification match. And what's been really interesting lately is back in the day, we would always see singles competitions for the qualifiers, but now we're starting to see a little bit more. We're starting to see triple threats, and we saw a Fatal 4-Way this time around. What do you think about the Fatal 4-Way?
I thought the Fatal 4-Way was definitely four guys who are hungry to get into one of the most prestigious tournaments in all the Midwest. It's Champion of the Night is one of those nights where eight guys can walk into the building, and only one of those guys is going to walk out a new champion. You're almost guaranteed a new champion in every one of these tournaments. It's unheard of. You know, it's March Madness rolled into one. So you had guys like, you know, you had Judge Jesse in that match. You had D-Rock, Derek Cobain. You had Nathan Gust. You had Seth Gambino. Four guys who just put it all on the line in that one. And tell you the truth, any one of those guys would have walked away with a huge victory. But Judge Jesse was able to somehow pick up the deuce, and good for the judge. I mean, former SWE champion would love to get back on the mountaintop, and so far, like, his change of attitude has been very beneficial for him.
Well, it's definitely an awesome fatal four-way because we had Derek O'Bain, who we haven't really seen too much after the summer came to a close. We have Seth Gambino, who last we saw was tagging with Brandon Blaze at SWE's Rubicon Ranch. And then on top of that, you have Nathan Gus, who's been rising up the ranks from pre-show to mid-card. And then you have the judge, who's seemed to be turning over a new leaf.
Yeah, you basically said everything I just said.
Oh, there you go. I just like to repeat. Sorry, I have a little bit of head trauma.
Yeah, someone's getting there. A little clever now, right?
Yeah, he went there. Well, Jesse, I know we'll be seeing you this Saturday for Collision Course, and then next Friday we're heading up to First, so it's going to be a fun next couple of weekends for indie professional wrestling, that's for sure. But we got to get Nick Colucci on here, so we're kicking you out the door. But
hey,
thanks for coming on today, dude.
Hey, no problem, man. Hopefully we'll catch you guys at SWE's Collision Course. Make sure you get your tickets. Beaver Dam, Wisconsin. It's going to be a hot one.
Awesome plug, man. We'll
Looking forward to First Wrestling, too, definitely.
Yeah, well, so we'll see.
Well, we're not selling that show this week.
So. Yeah, we'll sell that next week. All right, Jesse. Yep. Well, we'll see you at Rockies
right,
then next couple of days.
All right, take it easy, guys.
Later, man. Jesse Von Ruden, now Belt to Belt Productions owner, SWE, announcer.
SWE advertising specialist.
Advertising specialist. Also, Grapple Talk correspondent, I guess. I like saying that. It feels kind of
cool.
Yeah,
he's definitely a Grapple Talk correspondent since, like, he's the guy that usually reports all these shows as far as, like, ACW and stuff like that. Because that dude's on the road more than we are.
No, he's on the road, like, every weekend.
Pretty much.
But anyways, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. We're going to get Nick Colucci, one half of the Beer City Bruisers, on the horn. You're listening to Grapple Talk on RAQ Radio. Stay tuned.
Hey, what's going on? It's AC Riley. You're listening to Grapple Talk on RAQ Radio every Monday from 4 to 5 and every Friday from 6 to 7.
Grapple Talk on RAQ Radio. What's up, ladies and gents? It is time for our Spotlight in the Squared Circle segment, and we are sitting down with one half of the Beer City Bruisers. It's Nick Colucci.
One third, actually. I made that
mistake. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Doing one
damn
half.
It. So, Nick Colucci, what's going on, man?
Hello?
Can you hear us?
Yep, sorry.
All right, no worries. So Nick, one third of the Beer City Bruisers, what's going on, man? How you doing today?
Not much. How are you?
We're doing all right. Now, like we mentioned, we've been having a little bit of technical problems, but other than that, we're doing just fine and everything like that. And, you know, let's start off things as we usually do. Just if you wouldn't mind, because I know there's a lot of people, especially in the Milwaukee area, that know who the Beer City Bruisers, who Nick Colucci is. But maybe for some of the people that haven't heard of you, if you just want to give a little introduction of who Nick Colucci is.
Just a normal guy, really. I mean, I'm not anything special. I don't know. Pro wrestler.
Well, Nick, I
it's
mean,
a humble answer.
You want to say there's nothing special, but I mean, we know that you've worked for Ring of Honor, you've worked in some dark matches for WWE. That's pretty cool, man. What's it really like transitioning from the independent scene and going and working in a dark match for World Wrestling Entertainment?
It's pretty crazy. Like, I think as a kid, I never thought it was possible to even be a pro wrestler. So to be able to, even just on an independent level, be able to do it is pretty awesome, you know. But when you get there, it's so nerve-wracking because you don't, you know, it's like one of those things where you never realized it was possible, and then just to be able to walk into the arena when there's nobody else there and all you see is a ring and lights and all these people setting things up, it's just one of those, you know, it's like mind-boggling. It's almost something that you dream about, you know. And then all of a sudden it's true, and then you got to, like, pinch yourself for a second, you know?
Yep, because part of the point of it, correct me if I'm wrong, I guess I don't necessarily know, but part of the point of dark matches is more or less evaluating talent, correct? So it's almost like there's more pressure in being in a dark match because you know that the spotlight's on you as far as maybe eventually working for the business full-time.
Yeah, and, like, when I first started doing extra work for them, that's really what it was. They would bring you in to do some stuff. Like, I've been a druid for The Undertaker probably 800 times.
Oh, wow.
Wow, I did not know that.
I didn't either.
Probably not that many times. That might be a little much. But, they bring you in, like, a lot of times when they do the backstage interviews and stuff, you see the guys, like, hanging out on the side of the camera when a guy's walking through or something. And most of the time, those are always extras, you know, 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And now it's not so much that way. Now you kind of go in. They only do like 4 or 5 guys at a time, And they basically, the first day you just kind of sit down and hang out, and they talk to you, and then the next day you actually get a tryout match in the ring. Wow. In front of all the guys. You don't get to do it, you know, in front of a crowd. So, you know, the system there has changed, but it, you know, both ways, even though it's kind of evolved differently, it's definitely one of those things where if you get a chance to go, you're on their radar, and they're looking for, you know, to hire guys and help develop talent and see if, you know, you're the right fit for their company, kind of thing. So,
you know, taking a step back, you mentioned talking about dreaming, like you would never dream about being in the spot that you were now. You know, going way back to where this all started, you know, how did you get into wrestling? We've had a lot of guys say that they watch a certain wrestler. They, you know, for me, I went to a show that just happened to have work things out like that. So how does Nick Gallucci determine as a kid that he wanted to be a pro wrestler?
You know, like I said, I didn't ever think it was actually a possibility. So, you know, as a kid, I played baseball at a pretty high level. And I kind of, you know, I always watched wrestling as a kid. It was like my favorite thing in the world. I used to spend a lot of time with my grandparents. So, and my grandma was from down south, so I was exposed to, like, you know, the Crockett era, a lot of NWA stuff very early on. And it was just something that was always on TV when I was there. You know, it wasn't like a super, like, kid-friendly house, per se. You know, we didn't ever have cartoons. They really didn't have cable, anything like that. So she'd put that on, and that, you know, pretty much kept me quiet and happy. It wasn't until probably in high school I played music and stuff. I really wasn't into wrestling. I liked it, but it was something that I kind of fell out of love with, you know. And then I just happened to go to a couple shows, you know, in my area, some local shows, and started asking questions and got more interested again. And there was the company that I actually trained with and co-owned for a little while, ACW.
Huh.
I went to some of their shows and I asked, you know, like, how do I do this? And they said, well, show up, bring some money, and, you know, you can have a tryout. And I went and did it. And they used to have local TV in this area at like midnight or something. So, you know, I kind of followed that and, you know, tried to get to know everybody and figure out which guys that I liked and didn't like, even if they were, you know, good guys or bad guys on TV. Like, I wanted to, you know, find guys that, like, oh, I really like him, so I want to talk to him and see if he'll work with me and teach me. And, you know, obviously it didn't work out that way, but, you know, that's kind of how I started off. I just went, I couldn't even tell you where I was or what show I was at, but I think my first day of training, actually, like, Gangrel was on the show, and it was really weird because they only gave us, like, a half hour to get in the ring and actually do anything.
Well, I can probably say that some time with Gangrel would always be pretty beneficial. But we sat down with Matt Winchester about, you know, what was that, about a month ago?
A month ago. No, it was actually, oddly enough, about 3 months ago.
What?
I think that was our last episode of the 2013 year.
Well, anyways, time really does fly. But usually when we have guys on that are part of tag teams, it's something that we don't see a lot of, both at a higher level and down here at the independent scene, because I think there's a lot of emphasis these days on the single superstar aspect. But exactly, just from your perspective, what can you really take away as far as advancing your skills both in and outside the ring with a guy, tagging with a guy, being on the road with a guy like Matt Winchester?
Well, Matt's always been like a huge help with me, you know, even early on. I used to hate him. Like, I could not stand the guy. And, you know, a lot of it was he was just kind of testing me. You know, he was at that point where, you know, he had been in the business a few years, and he was, you know, not really treated the greatest by all the vets at that time. So now he got to turn it around and do it to guys. And,
yep.
And then, you know, and you just, it's one of those things that's kind of part of paying dues to a point. You know, I think wrestling has kind of lost some of that. I think most of the time now guys are, for the most part, really approachable, but, you know, at that time, we're talking, you know, almost 10 years ago now, guys, no matter where they were on the card, unless they started the same day as you, you couldn't really approach them and ask them to help. But he's always been a guy, like, he would, you know, he'd just be kind of a jerk to me for a while, and then finally, you know, he started kind of being cool. You know, I found out the secret, if I bought him drinks at the bar after the show, he would hang out and teach me stuff, you know. And so, he's actually, you know, he's been a lot of help with me even before we started tagging. before he moved to Missouri to train with Harley, I remember there was a specific time at a company in Green Bay that we were both working for where I was kind of stuck in the mid card, you know, lower mid card, and they weren't going to book me on a show, and it would be like the first time they hadn't booked me since I had trained, you know.
Right.
And they asked me, well, what do you want to do? And I said, well, I'm doing all this stuff in Milwaukee with, you know, Matt. At the time he was Dinty. I still call him that. And, you know, I said, I'd like to do it up here. And they're like, yeah, you're not on his level. We won't do it. And he found out about it. And he told them, you know, hey, I'm not even going to work the show. If, you know, if you don't book me and him against each other, I'll just quit your company. Like,
wow.
you can't treat him like that. He's got promise. Let me show you, you know? So they ended up booking the match. And I think we went like 45 minutes or something crazy and, you know, just blew the roof off the place. And, ever since then, like, I think that kind of opened a lot of people's eyes and they're like, hey, this guy could be something. So, you know, when he moved to Missouri, we still kind of kept in touch. And once in a while he'd come back and, you know, we would be on shows together or whatever. And then once he moved back, he made sure right away, like any place he was going, I was with him and vice versa. And then, you know, we really started tagging. We just weren't having fun in Green Bay. Like, we were kind of fell back into the mix. I was the heavyweight champion, and I lost the title. And they kind of put me right at the beginning, like, almost like it was day one. And I was working with these guys that, you know, it was like their third day ever training, you know. And it's kind of, the company was kind of mismanaged at the time. And I had made a comment to him, like, hey, man, you know, I'm not having fun. I don't know if I want to take these bookings anymore. And he's like, well, you know, let's just, let's have fun. Like, let's see if they'll put us together as a tag and we can go out there and act like idiots and drink beer. You know? And I'm like, yeah, I like that idea. So that's kind of how we started, you know? Being on the road with them, I think we learn a lot from each other because we have such different styles and, we've kind of gotten, you know, learned stuff from different people along the way. And so he has that influence of, you know, stuff from Japanese guys and, being down at Harley's and Harley and, you know, kind of that old school thing. And he's got that old school mentality. Whereas I was brought up in the same environment, but like I used to, anytime I could drive like even 5 or 6 hours and pay to do a camp with somebody, I would do it, you know, just cause I wanted to get so much better. And so I got to do lots of camps with, you know, some of the newer guys before they were really big stars, like Austin Aries and Samoa Joe and stuff like that. So I was kind of learning that, you know, Japanese American twist. So, you know, we kind of help each other out. Now we learn from each other a ton. Like, you know, hey, you do this, well, it's better if you do this, you know, just little things that we kind of pick on each other about. But
yeah, no doubt about it.
To mesh well.
Yeah, definitely. And that's one thing that's awesome about that Matt Winter is sticking up for you, especially that said, hey, you got promise. You guys end up going 45 minutes and blowing the roof off the show. And then for me, that just reminds me of like Halloween Havoc. You got Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio, two guys like with WCW. They didn't expect them to do really well, so they kept shortening their match. And with the time they had, they just blew the roof off and they really stole the show, in my personal opinion. And one thing you mentioned, you know, 10 years ago with all this time is that, you know, you've obviously been up and down the road plenty of times. You were mentioning some of the stuff like just learning from each other with the Beer City Bruisers, everything. Is there a certain match, any like road trip in particular that you'll probably remember for a good amount of your life as far as something that was just extremely memorable?
There's a lot of matches that are memorable for different reasons, I guess. Matt and I were just together the other day, Saturday, of course. Yeah, he's not quite cleared to wrestle yet, but he still tries to make it a point to be on the road with me as much as possible till he's cleared, which I think he's got the definite okay tomorrow or something.
That's so awesome.
We were actually just sharing a story about a match we did, and it was against Steve Sadist and Shane Hills, and it was going to turn into a six-man later in the match. And so, like, I think in the first, Bell hadn't even run yet, and we're going to do a thing where they, like, beat him up, and he goes to the outside, and I'm going to try to sneak up. They're going to give me a hip toss over the top onto him. And they were a little far away from the ropes for the hip toss, so he was worried about catching me. And when I went over the top, I, like, kicked him in the top of the head, and then it like, pushed my body back, and I hit my head on the ring, and I was knocked out.
Wow.
Ooh.
You know, and he was kind of knocked loopy, and then we ended up, you know, trying to wrestle the rest of the match, just completely, you know, seeing stars. It was one of those times where it was so, like, we laugh about it now, but, like, we got done with the match, and, you know, a bunch of other things happened, too. It was just a really bad night at the office kind of thing, and he reminded me, like, that I, when we got in the back, I ended up going for a walk, and it was like this time of year, you know, probably a foot of snow on the ground still,
right,
something like that. And I ended up walking out a side door in the locker room and just walking around in the snow in my trunks and boots for like 20 minutes because nobody knew where I went, you know, and I had no clue what was going on. But yeah, stuff like that. I mean, there's definitely been a lot of good matches. We have a lot of funny road stories that I don't know if I could really share.
Nick,
sorts of stuff. We tend to cause a lot of problems on the road with poor people, or, you know, we like to have a lot of fun. So,
well, fun is something I know we can really just how we can describe independent wrestling. And before we wrap up, something we like to ask everybody that comes out in the Spotlight in the Squared Circle, because, you know, we're trying to broadcast, we're trying to raise awareness for independent wrestling. Nick, if you were trying to sell somebody some tickets, or, you know, trying to sell why they should go see independent wrestling, what would you tell them?
It's not just a fun thing. It's like, independent wrestling is, it's hungry young guys, and a lot of them really deserve to have jobs. They're the guys you should be watching on TV, you know, whether they really have that skill set or not. I think everybody has that passion and that drive to do so, you know, and it's just, it's fun, and it's entertaining, and it's one of those things that, you know, I feel that people, when they go to smaller shows, independent shows, something you can be proud of is to say, you know, you can buy that. You can buy a WWE t-shirt, but, or a ticket, but you can't really relate. It's not something that's your hometown thing or your home area thing. In independent wrestling, I feel like it's something you can get behind, like the home team, you know?
Well, I agree 100% with that, Nick. That's very well said. And for Nick, thank you, Nick, for both of you guys are Nick. I just realized
that.
I just realized that. So for our Nick Ragnar, thank you, Nick Colucci, for coming on and talking with us tonight.
Thank you guys very much.
That
Nick
was
Colucci on I'm Tony Thunder on Spotlight in the Squared Circle. We're gonna take a quick break. We'll be right back with this week's Wrestler's Perspective. You don't want to miss this one. Stay tuned, guys.
RAQ, LaCrosse's student and community-run station.
Gravel Talk on RAQ. What's up, ladies and gents? It's time for a Wrestler's Perspective, as we do every single week. You should know that, but yep, yay! You should definitely know that by now. After every spot in the Squared Circle, we like coming back with a little bit of getting to know what's inside AC Riley's head. Apparently, not a lot of blood's in your head right now because you lost.
Not
so
too much.
Much.
I lost quite a bit on the weekend.
So we'll keep it nice. Well, we're not going to keep it simple. I actually wanted your opinion on something. So week number 16 here is our Wrestler's Perspective for tonight. So AC Riley, huge thing that happened recently. The WWE Network has gone underway. Matches from really every single show ever are on there. So in your opinion, from a wrestler, how do you think this is changing the professional wrestling industry? And do you think it's a good idea?
I think it's a great idea because if you think about it, you have guys that can look at any wrestling show they want. I mean, for example, you got quite a DVD collection of like interviews and WrestleMania shows and all that stuff in between. I don't have that. So if I want to go watch a show, I have to pray that somebody put really good quality on YouTube, and that's going to be how I watch a 15-minute show. But this is something where you pay a fee, which is actually not terrible. Granted, you have to pay for the full 4 months, I believe.
Yeah.
So you basically pay $40 up front for 4 months. And as a result, you can watch wrestling shows day in and day out. We got guys like Seth Gambino who was talking about, hey, I'm going to go watch these wrestling shows now. So much for a social life. Hashtag not much like I had one in the first place. And that's the thing is that, you know, some people just want to watch the wrestling show. For me, I would love to watch Raw and SmackDown, but most of the times when I have stuff going on, I can't watch it. I don't have DVR anymore, and that really sucks.
Yeah.
But now I can be like, eh, no worries.
Now you can watch.
I'm going to go on the WWE Network. And I think, this is what I hope for the WWE Network. I hope that this actually gets more publicity than the WWE app, because I tell you, I downloaded that thing because, yes, Michael Cole was saying, hey, have you downloaded the WWE app yet? And I was like, all right, fine, I'll download it.
I'll download it, Michael
Cole. I used it like 3 times.
Yeah, exactly.
And because really it was just like having WWE.com on my phone.
And who do you, I mean?
And
nice,
I barely checked that.
Yeah, exactly. It's not essential. You don't really need it.
Exactly. But that's what I'm hoping for the WWE Network app, that it will actually get some use. And I think it is. I think it has been already.
Yeah, of course. Well, that's our question for Wrestler's Perspective this week. If you want to let us know what you think about the WWE Network, hit us up on our Facebook page and our Twitter handle.
Nice.
That is Facebook, www.facebook.com/GrappleTalkRAQ. Did I do that right?
You got it.
And then you can hit us up on Twitter. RAQ Grapple Talk is our handle there. Head us up. Let us know what you think about WWE Network. Or if you just want to chit-chat with me or AC Riley, we're on there. So, I mean, do that because we enjoy talking to people. Really
darn
quick,
tootin'.
Before we get out of here today, we are going to give you a quick synopsis of the shows that are coming up both this weekend and next weekend. AC Riley, why don't you start us off?
We're going to be starting things off with IWI on Saturday, March 8th. The Stars of Independent Wrestling International return for a night of exciting pro wrestling action at the Eagle Club in St. Paul. That's located on 287 Maria Ave in St. Paul, Minnesota. 7:30 bell time. Doors open at 7. Tickets are $10 for adults and 6 for kids. Wrapping up really quickly, main event is the IWI World Title match to be held under no countout or disqualification rules. That's the Black Stallion World Champion versus Damian Graves, the U.S. Champion. That's IWI on the 8th if you're heading over in the Twin Cities area.
And the following on Saturday, we'll both be there. SWE's Collision Course, Supreme Wrestling Entertainment is hitting up the Game On Sports Bar, 1102 Madison Street in Beaver Dam, for Collision Course. This is, I believe, their third annual one as well. I think there's been 3 of these, if I'm not mistaken. Tickets are $10 for adults, 5 for kids, 6 to 12, and kids 5 and under. Wow, get in for free. Bell time's at 7, doors open at 6. And a couple matches to keep your eye on will be Stacy Shadows and Melanie Cruz. They're having a grunge match, and the loser leaves SWE, so that's a huge one to make sure that you go down there and check out. Another one in particular that I can't wait to see will be Jiggy Jack Spade and Big Peter Schwanz taking on the Ghost Riders. Yet another main event caliber matchup, so make sure you hit that one up. Well, that's it for Grapple Talk this week. Week number 16 is in the books for AC Riley and myself, Nick Ragnar. We'll catch you guys next week for week number 17. You've been listening to Grapple Talk on RAQ Radio.